Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
So just to hear God's reading of his word today, and it's coming out of Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And as you hear this, I want you to think about the courage that Joshua had to have to live out his faith. Because for us, I think we have to exercise the power of faith, right, to have the courage to live by God's promises. But now hear me, we got to say it the other way. To live by God's promises, the only way we can do that is to exercise the courage of faith. So out of Joshua chapter 1, 1 through 9, it says, "Now it came after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.'" May God add the blessing to the reading of his word and fulfill these promises to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. So, a couple of you probably don't know me very well, or you've seen my picture on the milk carton somewhere. I'm Matt. I'm one of the other pastors, and glad to be here today. And just as we think through what Joshua is telling us today and this story, I want to talk about the promises that God had for Joshua and all the people and the promises that he has for us. And in that, in those promises, though, what keeps us from living them? What keeps us from inheriting them? What keeps us from conquering what's in front of us to get the promises? And that's probably the harder part than living into the promise. I mean, it's easy once a promise is fulfilled how to take that and how to live it out. I mean, how to use it. But sometimes just getting there is the part that is hard. Now, Joshua, where Moses was this great intercessor between God and the people, Joshua is going to be the warrior. Joshua was the warrior for Moses. While Moses is up on a hilltop, Joshua is down with the people. Okay, while Moses is hearing from God, which is super important, amen. I mean, that just sounds silly to even say. Well, Joshua's on the ground living out what God has in store for them. He's promoting, he's helping, he's instructing, he's leading, he's talking to the people. And not that Moses didn't do that, but Joshua, he's the footman. He's the guy doing the work that Moses is hearing from God about. So what is it in this moment that where God is talking to Joshua that maybe Joshua is starting to have some doubts about? Because it would be true for us too. And the first one is, why don't we live into the promises of God? Because the first thing I do, and I think probably you do too, is we're always looking back. It's so easy to look back, because when something's been great in the past, or when something worked out, or at least it was easier than the present, maybe it wasn't the greatest thing or the best thing, we want to repeat that. We want to live it again. We want to do it again. We want to try to replicate that. But yet, when we do that, we can't be looking forward to where God's calling us, to how He's moving us, to how He's moving us forward. God uses individuals for specific tasks in life. You all have a calling, right? You all have something God's called you to do, and very few of us have the same calling, right? I mean, not all of us, praise God, can be preachers. Amen? Because, gosh, it would take forever to get through a Sunday morning, wouldn't it? I mean, if you think we're long-winded, just get Jamar Jordan up here. I mean, I can't do what Jamar does, even though Jamar probably could do what I do. I can't play the drums, okay? I can make a loud noise, but I can't play the drums, right? And we all have different, every one of us has different things, right? DeLee, a children's pastor, praise God, DeLee is a children's pastor, because your kids are in a lot better hands than they would be if they were with me, right? I mean, we all have different things, and so what is it when we look back, though, on what we wish we could replicate, we're not moving forward. How many of you have been somewhere, and it's not always the same, by the way. Even if we could redo it again, it's not the same. You could have the, how many of you are married? We're going to do this twice today. I mean, if you're married, you could go back to the same church and replicate the wedding ceremony again, but it would not be the same. We do this on vacations. We think if we could just get back to that one place we really enjoyed that one time because the weather was perfect and the food was great and all the stuff, and we finally get there and we're like, this is just not the same. What's different? See, that's the way it is with God. He wants us to move forward because He has new things in store for us. He has new promises each and every day. And here's what He says to Joshua. He's like, look. He goes, I know all these things are in the past. Moses was great. I mean, for God, I mean, Moses was the man. All the things that God and Moses did together and all the ways that Moses communicated with, I mean, God communicated to Moses, that just doesn't happen. And so when he's looking back, I mean, even God tells him, I mean, it's pretty cut and dry. I mean, we wouldn't say this to each other, right? But God says to Joshua, he's like, hey, Moses is dead, get up and let's go. I mean, we just wouldn't say that to each other, but God has to make a point, even for Joshua, his warrior servant, to say, we can't live in the past, Joshua. Moses is dead. Those days are over. They were good. They were great. There's memories. Oh, do you remember the water that came out of the rock? I mean, they can reminisce. They can do all that. You remember the manna that came from heaven? Yeah, that was all good. But it's time to move forward to the land of milk and honey. It's time to move to the promised land. Stop looking back. So why do we look back? Because we see the greatness and we just hope that we can do the same. And Joshua, he had Moses. Anybody want to follow Moses? I mean, that's going to be like following me as a pastor. That's just going to be impossible. Kidding. It's going to be like following Andy Hurst. Absolutely impossible. The relationships that Andy has with people can't be replicated. The heart that Andy has for people can't be replicated. It's hard to follow some people. But yet, here's Moses. Think about it. He did. He parted the Red Sea with God. He brought water out of a rock with God. God used him to bring food out of heaven, and it was on the ground every morning, right? He delivered the Egypts. God used Moses and his power and his influence and the way he was obedient to move the slaves out of Egypt, right? I mean, all these things. I would not want to follow Moses, but yet somebody had to. And here's the thing. When we look back to familiarity, they wandered in the desert for 40 years. Part of that, not only were they just lost, but I mean, it was familiar. It was comfortable. Even in crisis, even in famine, even in hurt and heartache, some people like that because it's just familiar. And you know these people. And you might be one of them, and I encourage you to not live there, to move forward, and we'll talk about that. But here's what I want to say, is familiarity is not just standing still, it's sinking. Because here's the second thing is, we can't just stand still because of familiarity. We like it, right? We like our, we like our homes, we like our cars, we like our kids. That's, well, sometimes we like our kids at the age they are. Sometimes we can't wait till they grow up. Sometimes we wish we could go back. But generally, we like familiarity, don't we? We like the way we do Christmas. We like the way we do holidays. We like the way we do church. We like the worship services. We like familiarity, but here's what I'm going to say is, Joshua, God said you have to move from familiarity. You have to go to where the promises are. And I can't tell you what that's going to be like. I'm just telling you that I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot, just as I always promised, I'm going to give you those promises. But you can't stay on this side of the Jordan. You can't stay in a familiar spot. So look, you may be thinking you're just staying where it's familiar and it's good, but I would say we're sinking. And it may be so slow, and it may be such a long process that it's kind of like quicksand. You don't even know that you're stuck until it's too late, until you're so stuck that you're dying. None of us want that. I mean, we say that we don't want it, yet we stay in very familiar places for so long. He says, every place where the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you. He's saying you don't even have to go. I mean, it's there. It's yours for the taking. Remember that, for the taking. You can't receive if you're not going. You can't receive if you're not reaching. You can't receive if you're not moving. How do we teach our kids to walk? Right? Either we held their hands a little bit and we moved and we had them move and they took steps, and then we let them go just a little bit and we took one step back and let them walk towards us, and then eventually we got farther back and farther back and farther back until they were walking towards us, right? You can't teach them how to walk by standing still. You can't let them receive new life and new skills and new whatever without moving. This is no different. But yet, we like familiarity so much. Look at this. It seems to me every time I preach over here, there's always a reference to this picture because it really is meaningful and it really has so much to teach us. Is Jesus out on the water, he's not just standing there. It talks about him walking. It talks about his movement. And Peter, he wants to be out there, right? Peter says to Jesus, man, if that's you, and what I want to say is, if these are your promises, call me. And if Peter's saying, call me, he knows that he can't stay in the boat. He has to get out on the water, and he has to walk, and he has to move. And he's doing fine until he does exactly what God told Joshua not to do. Don't stop, and don't look left, and don't look right. Don't take the off-ramp. Don't get off the path. But that's what he did. That's what Peter did. As he's out there walking, he sees the waves, and he looks, and he starts panicking. And as soon as he stops, he starts sinking. See, we can't live on the promises of God if we're looking back, or if we're looking back and we're standing still. You have to keep moving. Joshua had to move. And then here's the other thing, and here's where it gets a little personal for all of us, is we can't give up. See, that would be a hard thing for Joshua, I promise you. Because, first of all, you got Moses as your mentor, and he's the guy that set the standard. And now, I'm going to make light of this a little bit. I mean, all Moses had to do was lead them in the wilderness for 40 years, right? I know that there were great miracles and all that, but, I mean, wars and battles and conquering new things, I mean, that really wasn't such a thing. There was some, but it wasn't a whole new land. It wasn't, are you ready? There were 31, Joshua didn't know this yet, praise God, because he wouldn't have gone, I bet. I know I wouldn't. There were 31 kings and kingdoms in the new world, in the promised land, that Joshua was going to have to encounter, and they were going to have to conquer. 31! That's a lot of opposition. But yet, he didn't give up. He kept going. And they would get to one, and then they would move through that one. And they'd get to another, and they would take over, and they would conquer, and they'd get to another. And I don't know about you, but at about war 20, I would be a little tired. But yet, they kept going. and they kept going. How many of you in your life feel like you're on war 20? Or 21? Or 40? Or 50? But yet God says, I know this has not been easy. And I know that there is so much at stake. And I know you're tired. And I know that you're weary. But the promises are still there. You just have to keep moving. We can't give up. We have to keep moving. And then here's the one thing that this is for me, and y'all can just listen to me preach to myself, is I know the slide says you can't give up, right? No giving up. And the last one is this. You can't take over. You can't take over what God is calling you to do. You can't take over as the one in control. I didn't put it up there. I have it in my notes right here, right beside taking over. Or you can't say this in church, be a control freak. Amen? Point to the person around you that you know is a control freak. Oh, look at this. Boy, there's some fast ones in the back. It's like quick draw. Yeah, I mean, some of us are like that. I am so like that. Hi, my name is Matt Wolfington, and I'm a control freak. I mean, I want to orchestrate everything, and I want this to look, and so I say, do this, 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 and this, and no, you can't do it that way, you got to do it this way, and no, I mean, no. I mean, I had somebody, I mow my own yard, and you know why I mow my own yard? Because I really care what the tracks look like after I get done mowing. Please, somebody tell me you're the same. Okay, hallelujah. I mean, you talk about a control freak, just mow my yard. I mean, it's just, that's what we do. And yet we do it with God. God, I know there are promises. I know there's the past, and thank you for getting me out of all of that. And you knew best, and you really saved me, and that was really good. And I know you have promises up here, but can we negotiate the promises and how I get there? Can we negotiate? Gosh, I just really don't like that person. Why do you want to use me to help them? They don't like me at all, and you want me to go talk to them? I mean, that's just really, I mean, I worked hard for this money, and you want me to do what with it? We negotiate with God all the time. And there was no negotiating with Joshua and God. God said, hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Get up. Let's go. And that's really all he's calling us to, because it's not that God is mean. It's not that God is uncaring. It's not that God is incompassionate. It's not that God didn't want to all the things. He just had Joshua and the people's best interest at heart. He just needed somebody to do the work. See, that's the way it is for all of us. But yet, we worry about it. How many of you worry about tomorrow? Nobody? Just me? Well, I'm doing it for enough for the rest of you, I promise you. How many of you worry about your children? Oh, gosh. I hope yours are smarter than mine. Right? And you're saying the same thing about mine. How many of you are worried about retirement? I'm so worried about retirement. Hold on, I just need to talk to Luke for just a minute. Panic! Every time, y'all, I mean, this is just me, I mean, and it's a control thing. Just as I was in the restroom back there putting on my microphone and everything, I just realized that this right here is looking really old. And I went, and I said to myself, God, you are not ready to get this old and be retired and try to live on your own without a job. That's what I thought of in that bathroom back there. That's how much I worry. That's what a control freak I am. All the things. And yet, God has my best interest at heart if I will just, what? Follow him and trust in his promises and stay on the path. And not try to do all the things. And here's what happens is when I start trying to control things and I want to do it my way and I start going and do other things that are not my calling, that's when my calling suffers. And we all have a few, right? A pastor is just not my only calling. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a friend, right? I mean, there's all sorts of different things. But when I'm trying to do things that are outside of my calling because I want to control them, then the things in the realm that God has created for me start suffering. And so when you start looking at, sometimes our suffering is self-inflicted, amen? We don't think that it is, but boy, I'm going to start preaching now. It is. I mean, it is self-inflicted. We didn't mean for it to happen this way. Just the last couple of weeks, Robin and I have even said, gosh, things are just not going the way we think they should be going. Things are happening and stuff's happening. And as I start looking, it's really all about neglecting the things that are happening. It's really all about not paying attention and doing the things we should have done along the way. And yet, I think it's somebody else's fault, by the way. But yet it's not. It's mine. It's ours. And so here's what I would say to you is that when we think that we're starting to just, we just need to, I know we're supposed to be going this way, and God, I see the promises ahead of me, and you're calling that over here, but I just need to go take care of this over here. No, don't. See, that's to the left. See, say, God, I know I've come to the left, and it's a nice, pretty, shiny thing I want to do. And it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be great, and it may be. But that's not for you. This over here is. Lord, get me back on the path. Oh, wait, I'm going to go over here and do this. Oh, okay, Lord, I got off the path. I don't even know where the path is right now. Lord, get me back on the path. See, that's what he's calling us to. That's where I think part of the courage is not to face the 31 kings and kingdoms. The courage is just to do what you're told to do. Just to stay on the path. That's what I need. That's where I need my strength. I don't mean this as arrogantly and as braggadocious as it sounds. I can conquer the 31 kings and kingdoms, amen? It's just hard for me to stay on the path. It's just hard for me to stay on the path because I like doing a lot of things. I just need to stay on the path. And when I stay on the path, here's some of the promises that we get. There are promises that are individual promises. There's a promise for each and every one of us, for you, for me, for everybody. And then there's promises that are generic, general promises for all of creation. Then there's promises that are for those that believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There's lots of promises, but here's just some of them. Adoption by God, forgiveness of sins, answer to prayer, deliverance from temptations. Anybody asked for that lately? Sustaining grace for difficult times, provision for all of our needs. There is a reward for obedience. Amen. God promises they're certain and they're sure, but there's some qualifications to them. And the qualifications are, it's usually if and then. If those people who are called by name will seek my face and will repent of their sins, then I will heal their land. If you will stay on this path, then if you will abide by my whatever, then I will fulfill these promises. No one will be able to come upon you. No one will be able to conquer you. Nothing can stand in your way. No kingdoms nor principalities. Scripture says nothing shall separate us from the love of God, right? And so, but there's all these qualifications. So where do you need God to tell you to get back on the path? Where do you need to say, Lord, I've got battles in front of me. I'm fighting on four different fronts right now. Things aren't going well at work. My kids are a problem, and my marriage is a wreck, and something's happened to my plumbing. Anybody have the blessing of a sprinkler system? Created by Satan himself. I get up this morning. I always wanted a sprinkler system. I get up this morning, things on. There ain't nobody can turn it off. I have no idea how long it came on during the night, right? I mean, I'm just looking at it going, oh my gosh, I just got to turn the water off. I turn the water off, it goes off. And then the first thing that pops into my head is, oh, the city of Lubbock is going to kill me with a water bill, right? Another front that I have to fight, because guess what I got to go home and do? Figure out how to fix a sprinkler system. Stupid. It's dumb. What I call that is a problem with our blessings. Anybody have problems with your blessings? That's all Joshua had. All he had was promises. All he had was promises. And yet, Oh my gosh. Over and over again. And the story goes on and the story goes on. For us, the story goes on. I want you to think right now, God, where do I need to know you are with me? Where do I need to know that you are fighting these battles on my behalf? Where do I need to know that I need to step aside and let you do what you're going to do? I think I say it at least once a week to somebody, is that where Scripture says, be still and know that I am God, does not mean to be still and not do anything. Be still and know that I am God is to let God do His part and you do yours. Be still is not doing God's part and my part. It's just letting God do His. And when that happens, the promised land comes. The promised land is inherited. The promises of God can be lived into by you and me. Let's just do that. Let's stop trying to do all these other things. Stay on your path and let's go to the promised land together each and every day. Lord, for all of us, Lord, we might need to have a prayer time this morning. Lord, we might need to come to the rails, Lord, just to confess to you. Lord, we might need to reconcile. Lord, we might need to ask for forgiveness. Lord, we might just need to say, Lord, I'm lost. I am yours. I know I'm an adopted daughter or son. I know that I am a child of the one true King, but I am in the wilderness. Some of us might even still be in Egypt and a slave to whatever's going on in our lives. Or we might just be wandering around. Maybe we've left the idolatry. Maybe we've left being a slave to something. Maybe we've walked away from addiction. But my gosh, we don't know where we're at and we don't know how to live. And we're just walking around just making it day by day. God wants more than that for every creation that He has made. Every soul, He wants to be in the promised land with Him. Lord, not just in eternity, but today. Lord, I pray that we would move on your power. We would move on your grace. We would move on your mercy. And we would move on your promises. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take the hand of someone next to you if you'd like. Stretch out over those aisles if you can reach to receive the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Wherever you go, He will give you the promises that He has in store for you. Do not waver. Have courage. Be faithful. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Stay on the path, and you will inherit what He has promised you. Know that it's true, not just for you, but for all those around you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.